Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I'm John Batchelor with Bill Roggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He keeps the Long War Journal. And a frequent contributor to the Long War Journal is the Jerusalem Post-war correspondent, Seth Frantzman, also the author of the book, October 7th Wars, which is up to date right before Sinwar's death. We're going to Hezbollah and the North. The news over the weekend here in the U.S. was that a drone said to have been launched by Hezbollah or its agents came very close or struck at the prime minister's house. Now we have more drones over the Mediterranean all the time aimed at airports. Bill, you have a question for Seth about Hezbollah.
Yes, Hezbollah has been launching, in some days, hundreds of rockets at Israel. Are these coordinated fires by Hezbollah, or are the Israelis view these as random attacks?
I think the recent information is that they do attempt to sometimes coordinate a bit of it. So you might have, for instance, some medium-range rockets fired in the north, and then, you know, drones would be launched at some point as well, so that maybe the air defenses are focused on one thing and not the other. In general, we're talking about, usually, as you said, up to 200 rockets a day and several drones. So in the attack on the prime minister's house in Kisaria, the drone obviously penetrated somehow. I think one other was intercepted. And there was a drone attack on a train base nearby, not so far from there, a week ago, in which four soldiers were killed and 60 were injured. And that, again, involved several drones, in which two were intercepted and one kind of got lost. And then it, of course, ran into this base. So these drones also don't move that fast necessarily, so it can take time to figure out where they're going and things like that. But I think, you know, Hezbollah, obviously the real threat is that Hezbollah is very thoughtful and it thinks about where it wants to carry out the attacks, and it tries to do it in a manner that it can avoid Israel's detection systems or somehow be detected, but then somehow get around them after that.
The Hezbollah threat, Israel's crossed the border. That's what we have. There's been firefights in the south of Lebanon, Bekaa. There have been strikes in the neighborhood associated with Hezbollah in southern Beirut. There have been strikes in the center of Beirut. But it's all very disorganized from the reporting point of view. Is there a war plan? Is there a war aim that you can see consolidating with all these events over these last weeks, Seth?
Yeah, I think there's a phased war plan. I think that if we look at it in terms of phases, go back to the first year of fighting, October 8th until September 17th of this year. You could call that almost a phony war, because Hezbollah was attacking every day, but Israel was just doing very small proportionate responses. Then after September 17th, there was the pager incidents that wounded and killed 1,000 people or something like that. And then there were mostly wounded them. And then there was attacks on Hezbollah command and control, including the elimination of Nasrallah, in about a week of attacks. And then you have, I think, September 23rd, Israel declares the war, Northern Arrows, the operation, and carries out 1,600 airstrikes in a day. And that's basically the beginning of a short air campaign to bludgeon Hezbollah a bit. And then on October 1st, the ground campaign begins. So then you can say that's almost phase three or four. And then to yesterday, last night, October 20th, Israel begins the widespread strikes on the banking sector of Hezbollah, this parallel state that Hezbollah runs within Lebanon. So I think there is definitely a phased plan here to systematically cut Hezbollah into pieces. Now, the question, of course, remains, you know, whether that will eventually result in what Israel would like to have happen, I think, which is Hezbollah to kind of collapse and agree to leave southern Lebanon. So far, I think the messaging is that won't happen, but you never know when something may change.
Bill, you have a question.
Yes, Seth, like Hamas, Hezbollah has suffered significant losses to its top leadership. How has Hezbollah dealt with this? There has been even been rumors that the IRGC was going to step in and put people in command. Can Hezbollah be an effective force without Nasrallah and its last leader? The last leader of Hezbollah served for less than 2 weeks.
Well, it would appear that given the fact that Hezbollah has maintained about a rate of fire of 200 to 200 rockets a day, including expanding those ranges down to Haifa and the coastline and precision drone attacks, that Hezbollah certainly is able to withstand the blows and keep going. Now, it's unclear how well or effective the Hezbollah fighters are in southern Lebanon. I did speak to one member of the Golani infantry who described them as, still quite a serious force and much more competent than Hamas, which is what was expected. And it does seem to be that they are able to function on a kind of, company-sized level in most of these villages. And the IDF is also going quite cautiously and slowly. So one could argue that the IDF didn't exploit rapidly the deaths of all these commanders. And that probably gives Hezbollah some time to replace them. And as you noted, the IRGC and the rest of the Iranian Axis is involved in backing Hezbollah. But from what it looks like so far, we're not seeing this flood, for instance, of fighters from Iraq or whatever, that basically the militias from Iraq who had said they would come and help Hezbollah, they are not being mobilized to drive to Lebanon by the truckload as cannon fodder. So I think we'll have to wait and see if and when that might happen if Hezbollah starts to feel that it can't withstand this.
The counterstrike against Iran in retaliation for the ballistic missile attack. We've had don't do, don't do, don't do for weeks now. Don't do the suspect nuclear weapons program. Don't do the oil fields. It goes on. All the talk. Is there any indication now of what will be the most effective counterstrike? Or are we just going to leave it to float and see what shows up? Is there consolidation? For example, we've talked about the wiring diagram of Hamas and the wiring diagram of Hezbollah. Is that a target, the IRGC leadership?
I don't have any idea what the targets might be, but as you did notice, I mean, there does seem to be a bit of choreography here, and there's a lot of brinksmanship and a lot of talk about don't attack this, but attack that. And the Iranians say, well, if you attack this, then but don't do that, or we'll respond this way. So, this is a high stakes game being played out. Again, it's not the kind of way you would think, war is usually waged, but it is, in a dangerous situation, I guess, at the Middle East at this moment. There is a lot of this discussions and shared concerns. And also you have the fact the Americans are deploying air defenses to Israel, which is not unprecedented. The Americans have done that in the past with Patriots, but the THAAD system deploying several of them is interesting. And it certainly speaks to concerns about Iran's ability to respond with a lot of ballistic missiles, as we've already seen them do. So, there's a lot going on. We'll see. I guess we'll know when we know if this attack does happen. It's, as you noted, it has been 3 weeks already
Right.
of lots of talk.
Seth Frantzman, the author of The October 7th War, now available up to Sinwar's death. He's also the war correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and a fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Long War Journal. You can find his reporting. Bill Raggio, who keeps the Long War Journal for the FDD.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.